Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
Welcome to ATT Live, January 28th. I'm Braden.
I'm Dan.
And today we have special guest, meme correspondent, the Burmeester himself. What's going on, Burmeester?
Not much. I was going to go, and I'm not Andrew, but you talked over me. So.
Yeah, that's what I do.
I had a whole shtick planned. It's all good. Stepped in it. Not much going on. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, Burmeester jumping on here, answering the call last minute. If you want on the show, you want on an ATT Live, you want in that correspondence guest spot, just jump over to our Patreon tab, $10 or more, get yourself on the list. And,
you're already on the list if you check your fucking Patreon messages. Yeah. We sent out a whole fucking thing.
Dan's losing his shit over here. He's like, no one's answering the emails.
I sent out the messages. I don't check messages.
I was like, don't worry, I got a guy.
So if they ghost you, do they go to the end of the line? Or how does that work?
Just go on. I mean, everybody has the thing. It's like, long as you respond to the message, your Patreon messages, then you're in.
A bunch of people.
Doors open.
Jump.
Everybody's got a price for the $1 million, Dan.
A bunch of people in the chat already. Invalid ID. Uncle Slam. Chango. Diego. Dagan Studios. Tyler and Caesar. What's going on? We got some... Dude, we talked last week about World War III popping off in the UFO Twitter world. And I just got to give a little update here, because shortly after we did that episode, and if you remember, it was basically Travis Taylor fucking sounding off on Kirkpatrick.
Unleashed.
in the days after that, dude, the onslaught from the UFO community to Kirkpatrick was unbelievable. There was some old guy that was in some interview that had like a million views, and he's just like, yeah.
Who was he? Like, who was that guy?
I have no idea. Dude, there's just an interview with this guy. He's like, I'll say one more thing about the UFO community. Fuck you, Stephen Kirkpatrick.
It was like you said, Braden sent me this link of this guy, and it's like doing some UFO interview, and they're talking about some guy, and the guy's like, hey, David Grush talked to me. I guess he has some sort of contact with David Grush, and then like he's like, hey, Grush told me he's going back to the Capitol Hill next week or whatever, because I think they're doing another round of briefings or whatever, and he's going to be there. And that guy is like, I told him to tell Kirkpatrick for me, fuck you. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, why? He's going to be like, who, why? And Kirkpatrick's not even going to be there.
Same thing we did. Who's this old guy? There was like, no name bar. I had no idea. And I would like
Grush is going to be like, hey, so-and-so says, fuck you. Kirkpatrick's going to be like, who? What?
He's like, my DMs are filled with fuck yous. Especially, is it Travis Taylor again?
Yeah, I imagine. Yeah, dude. At least he didn't fuck it. Yeah, if he would have put out his email address like Travis Taylor did, his inbox would be chock full of that shit. But he probably gets it already. But man, I don't know. Kirkpatrick's just a fucking lightning rod of just hate and vitriol from the UFO community. Yeah. He's either government shill or helping the cover up. So I don't know.
Well, speaking of government shills, like we said, this is the UFO. The UFO community has been severed, cracked. Islands are forming. Different people are.
It's Survivor, man.
Yeah,
straight up Survivor.
So, Dr. Stephen Greer, obviously, he didn't like the limelight getting on anyone else. So he just started firing pot shots. He just lets out a tweet and going, Nick Pope is a government shill who is in charge of giving out misinformation. Literally, the response basically Nick Pope gave in the replies is like, yo, what the fuck? What are you doing? Why me? And it's like, Stephen Greer is the biggest grifter in the UFO game. You know, he'll show you UFOs for a monthly fee of $59.99. That's all you got to do. Sign up for CE5 app and look at the skies while you listen to his smooth sounding voice. And it's wild. Just like the guy just absolutely is just throw it. First, he goes after Nick Pope. And then when Nick Pope responds, David Greer's like, well, you know what? Lou Elizondo, he's one too. Government shell propaganda. Yeah. And you're like, holy fuck, God.
Greer, like, coming in swinging, just like everywhere, just throwing just chaos. Like, I don't even know. Like, I don't understand, because Nick Pope is like a pretty nice guy. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, we met Nick Pope. Totally nice.
And he's, and, you know, is he a government shill? I mean, he can't really. How can he worked for the government? So it's like he can't deny that he worked for the government at some point. So how do you respond to that as Nick, like an allegation that you're a government shill? It's like, no, then they just say that you're denied. It's of course that's what a government shill would say, you know.
Where did you meet him? Was that when you were in Vegas or LA?
That was LA. That LA, was Los yeah, Angeles. Yeah.
Okay.
That's when we were actually. It's when we scored that sweet fucking speaking role and then for no reason.
there was somehow a typo and they were like, wait a minute.
Yeah, they were like, oh, wait, these guys aren't associated with Ancient Aliens.
People are sounding off in the chat. I love it. People, even our chat is separating, is forming islands. Invalid IDs like Kirkpatrick should, I'm going to read it as I think she would write it. Kirkpatrick should have never been in charge of a regulatory committee. So it's pretty funny. In the chat, though, we got Yifos. He's saying, no way I caught a live stream. Your guys' podcast got me through so many hard days at work. Happy to be here, y'all. And if you check, we got a little goal going today.
Got me hard.
Yeah, got me hard.
Your podcast got real
through
hard.
The days. last week, we successfully... and it did just get delivered. We successfully raised funds to get Andrew a green screen because we decided as a community that we were sick and tired of seeing the gym. And so we want Andrew to set up a green screen so we can see the gym flipped in reverse.
He's gonna do a photo of the gym on the green screen now.
Yeah. Then flip it. So just to, you know, we need to change things up,
mix it up. Yeah. Just a little bit.
And tonight we're raising money.
We got to do something. We've been trying to figure out ways to, like, you know, zhuzh up the podcast and live stream, and, you know, flipping the gym was what number one.
And for tonight, we're raising money for another huge cause. It's because a lot of people on the show have always asked, what does Dan look like without a hat? Well, we can't quite get there, but what we've got, we've agreed with Dan, is we're going to raise money for a visor hat for Dan to wear. It's a compromise. It'll give us a peek on the inside of what's going on up there. So if you want
a certain brand of visor hat we're looking at?
We don't know yet. It's going to be a custom one, though. But yeah, it's the UFO community right now is, I like I said, now,
shambles.
Dude, Alien Con is going to be basically a fucking Royal Rumble, the next one. Like, dude, could you imagine going to, like, Contact in the Desert? It's going to be full Contact in the Desert. That's what's going to happen. and honestly, Stephen Greer is, that is good. I'm coining that. Full Contact in the Desert. Just fucking, Greer's got Nick Pope in a headlock. Like, it's just going to be a huge battle.
He'd snap.
Greer's Nick Pope, huge. Like,
he would snap. Pope is an old dude, and he is really skinny.
and Stephen like Greer's fucking jacked, man. Stephen Greer looks like he's injecting that CE5 straight to his veins. Dan, what else did you have? You sent me a fucking interesting one.
Well, actually, also about Nick Pope. Nick Pope actually just recently said that he went on an edition of some Great Britain news channel, and he was talking about how he says that we should be focusing our UFO efforts on South America. He's saying there's a lot of crazy shit coming out of there, and that's where we need to be looking.
He's like, History Channel, I need a show to send me to South America.
So that's pretty, I mean, we had the face dealer thing coming out of there. There's been some allegations leveled of, like, UFO crashes, and especially, I mean, everybody says Brazil, but it's like, yeah, Brazil's like half of South America, so I don't really of course, that's nice, where UFO was gonna crash.
$9.99 donation from Giovanni towards the visor. Thank you there, Giovanni.
Why does Owen Wilson pop up? Did you do that?
Yeah, it's so when people different things, That's a nice tip. That's an impressive tip. So people go,
that's
Owen Wilson
good.
Lets us know. Wow, that's a good one. if you amazing. Tip under $3, it goes, what, you have no money?
But yeah, I sent Braden this other news article just today that I ran across. I guess this week, the living Nostradamus, as he is self-titled and refers to himself, Mr. Athos Salome. I don't know. Has made some.
Pull him up.
I guess he's printed up a report of his like best hits album of
this guy invented
from last
mewing.
Year or so. Yeah,
like his face is something else. Like it doesn't even. Look
If you're somebody
real.
Who tells the future, if you're gonna like fucking. You're going to tell me that a guy tells the future. It's like this guy.
he looks like a Snapchat filter. Like when I'm looking at him. Here. Yeah. I got a picture up on him on the YouTube. I hear Burmese. Seth. I don't think you can hear. I'll send
yeah.
you.
Oh yeah. I see him. I got the Facebook pulled up.
Okay. Yeah. Look at that guy's jawline, man. That's not even real.
Like, it's not even real. And that is also to the point of the article. So the article that they linked is like, apparently people have been kind of leveling like
searching for dresses too there on the side.
Yeah, Timu, man. These are the least problematic ads I've ever had. So
yeah. These ones.
Sorry, Dan. Go ahead.
I guess they've been accusing him of being a reptilian in human disguise. And if you said that, I'd believe you. Like
yeah,
that's not a normal face.
I'm getting some uncanny valley here. You know where you know where all three of our chin lines went? To this guy. That's where they went. like this is insane.
It looks like a helmet. It's like a helmet.
What actor does he look like?
All of them.
Who's that guy who looks like two different people? Josh Duhamel, and who does he look like? It's like another actor.
Yeah, it's like if you like, you can kind of like angle like your eyes to cut off his jaw, and then he kind of looks like a normal human. It's hard to look at, man. It gives me the creeps.
Yeah, this guy.
He wears a leather trench coat at all times.
Of course, nah. Yeah,
Timothy Olyphant. Yeah. He looks like Josh Duhamel and Timothy Olyphant, kind of in a way. If he was on like All My Children, Olyphant
wishes he had a fucking jawline that sharp and he could open his mail with it. Like fuck. I guess he's made a number of things, but people have been leveling things that like, yeah, he's a reptilian or he's a member of the Illuminati. And I'm like, yeah, I could see it. Like,
yeah, that all checks out. He looks like a fucking
He doesn't
villain.
Deny it. He doesn't. That's
he looks like a sexy
part.
Villain. That's what I'm going to say.
I don't know why you would deny it, though. It'd be like, yeah, I'm a reptilian or I'm Illuminati. Like,
what's his latest prediction that holds any credibility? I haven't been following this guy.
A couple of his things came through. Apparently Prince Charles's, health troubles recently. I guess he said he predicted those last year.
He just said, he's like, I actually predicted. He's like, you know, listen, I predicted last week that the Lions were going to make it to the semifinals here. NFC championship.
I guess he had warned King Charles III specifically of prostate and genital
terms?
Problems. I don't know. Like, I guess. Why wouldn't you be? Look at this guy. Look at him.
His DMs. Yes. Yeah. In his DMs there.
And of course he would if he's a reptilian because he would have, ins with the royal family.
Yeah, that makes sense. Maybe they're relatives.
Yeah. They all got
how do reptilians know the other are reptilians? Do you think they can smell it or do they do like a little tongue?
No, like their eyes change color. That's the thing.
Is that what it is?
Eyes are, okay. Yeah, their eyes morph. They give them a little like nictating membrane.
Like Mystique from X-Men.
Yeah. No, what they do is they just stare at you the exact way this guy's staring at you and you go, everyone else, when you get, you're like, oh, that's weird. So anyone who hits them back with that same look, then they're like, they give you the nod, right? Then you know the reptilian. This guy is freaky looking. I mean, if you're just listening to the podcast version of this, do yourself a favor and go look up Athos Salome.
Salome.
What kind of name is that?
Reptilian.
It's a guy who tells the future. That's
where does he live? Does it say where he's from? Is he from the U.S.?
The future, obviously.
I think he's actually from Brazil. I think he's from somewhere in South America. I can't remember.
What do they call the future people in South Park?
Yeah, he's Brazilian, apparently. So somebody in chat just said hi from Brazil. So see if you can find that guy.
Kim C.
Yeah, millions of people. See if you can find him.
Kim C said you could serve some charcuterie on that jawline. You could.
Oh, yeah.
You could. That is flat.
You could just like rub like a just you could just like cut thin paper thin slices off that face.
Oh yeah, man. You could. Some you could definitely sandwiches. Shave some prosciutto or whatever it's called with that on that jawline.
Yeah. Fuck.
Yeah, it's impressive.
So yeah, I guess that was one of his predictions, you know, and then, you know, he predicted the death of Queen Elizabeth apparently. And, Elon Musk purchasing Twitter. So, you know, that's what
and Musk,
he's also,
but when does he have these written down or he's just saying that? Oh, I
he
did.
Does.
Oh, pre like
he issued out a report recently. I guess he just wrote down like his predictions that he made last year, which is like, okay, did you really write that down? Or, you know,
it's so he's like, in like fantasy football.
I predicted this last year. Da 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 da. And you're like, did you?
I can't even look at him. I'm gonna make him just creep. And there we go. That's,
he's like the guy in New York that holds up the cardboard sign with like a different sign all the time. I don't know what he's called. He's like meme guy. Yeah.
This guy's way too sexy to be on the street corners. Are you kidding me?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. You can't have him sitting in a cardboard box with a crystal ball. Yeah. No, this guy's going to be out there, you know, wearing his leather duster, rocking it.
Yeah. Like on 50 Shades of Grey.
He is also, so we also have to be on the lookout for the Matrix of Modern Surveillance is on its way. Not here already, I guess.
But, like the killer bees.
That was, it's love it, you know. If you're gonna have a guy again, if you're gonna have a guy who tells the future, that's gonna be the dude.
I appreciate that. Like, I mean, some of the other people that have read the future, hard to look at, right? So at least this guy's, he could be the face of the future, right?
You know, there's the whole meme where it's like how I look on Instagram, how I look when my friend takes my picture. You know. He could just look completely crazy in like another picture if it's not one that he's doing of a selfie.
Oh wait,
himself,
you know? Maybe I do have one that he is, and that's not Instagram. Hold on,
fired
up. I pulled it up.
Oh, did you send it to me? Is he completely?
Oh
different?
Wait, no. I here. Yeah, I got this one. This one.
Is he catfishing?
Look at this one.
It's just Dan's ass.
Because I clicked it. No, I clicked on a link on. I think on that. I dug a little deeper, and I was like, I clicked on the link of that guy.
Do you look him up on LinkedIn? Like, do you have a LinkedIn profile?
Oh, he probably does. I mean, I wonder what his job
predict
title
the future.
Is. I guess prognosticator, like professional prognosticator. Like,
is that
I guess.
A thing?
Yeah, you get paid to prognosticate.
I mean, he look.
Yeah, I said
it. He's not as sharp. He's still freaky looking.
There he is.
Yeah, but it's not like as it's not as looking crazy as the other one.
No, he's
like
using
a Christian.
You're like, oh, that's what it looks like.
Looks like he's in a Christian rock band.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy.
Oh, what was that?
Is that like, did he get that like, I wonder if he got like cheek stuff done or is it like buccal, whatever, like what the lady, the woman who plays Starf, what's her name on The Boys? She's got her jacked up plastic surgery or whatever done.
Yeah, maybe. I would say if I could make a prediction, I would say he's definitely had surgery. That's my prediction.
No way, he was born like that. What are you talking about?
I don't think so, dude. He's hard. He's inch. No. Yeah, people in the chat saying hard to look at. Yeah.
Who won the Rumble?
Cody Rhodes. All those non-Euclidean.
Cody Rhodes and Bailey, baby.
Yeah, it was. You know, as for Rumble goes, a little Rumble news, kind of predictable. Nothing, no real surprise. I felt the women's Rumble was strong. Men's Rumble. Kind of lacking.
Look, I was cheering for whoever number I pick. We always have a Royal Rumble watch party, and we pick numbers from a hat. We all put some money in, and we do a men's, a women's, and then we do like the other matches. If there was a run in, if there was a foreign object used or an object made in America, whatever you want to call it, and if there's some outside interference, stuff like that. So I actually picked the number of Cody and Bailey. So I won both pots last night. It was pretty sweet. I don't know if it was that predictable though.
Right away I was like, it's going to be Punk and Cody wanted to like last in.
At some point. Like, I'm glad they came out in like different spots. So that was cool.
Riles McCann on Instagram asks, what are your guys' thoughts on remote viewing or have you ever heard about that?
Never.
When we went to Austin, we did try to do a remote viewing. And both Zell and Andrew were pretty close. I mean, Zell, you know, we have footage of, we kind of walked around and we spotted a building that kind of looked like what Zell was talking about. Mm. And Andrew said we were going to meet a jacked guy and then go see Joe Rogan. and we technically did do both of those things. Jack guy came around the corner, was a fan of the show.
Yeah, what was his name again?
I am fucking blanking here.
I'm blanking on his name.
Yeah.
Sorry, buddy, if you're watching. Sorry, mate. He's from England.
Yeah, I know. He's a fucking beauty too. God damn it. Now I'm going to have to edit this and edit his name as all robotic.
Mr. Black.
Didn't we take the remote viewing test too? Didn't we do the online one?
I think so,
like the online remote viewing test. I think we remember doing that too. Those were all super
I think
fun.
We've talked about Project Stargate too, because there's a Stargate. We talked about the Stargate potentially in...
we've talked about remote viewing, and we talked about one of the bigger... Yeah, I think it was Project Stargate, and then there's one other one. Well, I can't remember off the top of my head, but we have talked about it.
And the CIA's dabbled in it. They've been interested enough to run studies to see, if people... had any kind of aptitude to do these things. And why wouldn't you? I mean, if there was a chance that there was people that had these things, you would at least have to run a test to, if people were better, you would be like, okay, well, there's got to be someone who's the best at it. You'd want to find that person, because you're like, if this motherfucker can just peek in rooms without leaving the country.
Her name is
11. Right? Yeah, perfect. this would be unreal. Like the government applications to it. Like, so if there, if there is some sort of... CIA operation where someone's Minority Report all fucking corded up in the vat of fluid, looking into beyond the Kremlin here to see what's going on with Putin, figuring out why they're hiding his shit, right? Who knows? Maybe.
I mean, it's kind of interesting that it's like, even if you did have remote viewing, even if remote viewing perhaps is a real thing, it's like you would still have to send somebody in to confirm it anyways. So I don't know. It's like, if you're... You'd have to. So I don't know. It just if they did actually, take it seriously and then look into it, they probably just figured that it's just more effective to just have an actual physical person there.
I mean,
take photographs or whatever.
But here's the thing: if there was someone who had a really high percentage, say you did all your tests and you're like, you had a kind of a closed study, the closed room, what's in the box, and they're like fucking nailing it every time, and then you're like, tell us what's here, and then they're like, oh yeah, it's Putin's mistress's, that's what's in this bunker. they'd be like, all right, maybe we should just trust that he might be right, because he's nailed all these others. Like, I don't think you're going to tell him. I think this is how they found Osama bin Laden, actually.
This is fine. Remote viewing.
Yeah.
And so, I was like, I don't know. Satellites are just feel like a little bit more reliable, and I don't know if you had it, it'd be a very niche position in the intelligence community. I feel like just had that. It'd be a weird. I don't know. Working with those guys would be just it would be interesting. So I don't know. We have talked about it at length at some point. So Project Stargate is like the big one. That they talked about, whether that was actually a CIA psyop where they were just telling the Russians that we have remote viewers. So they would, kind of like the moon race. We were like, yeah. just throw everything out there. So the Russians just think we have psychic people, and then they threw out crazy stuff too.
Do you think that because you talked about it, do you think you were looking around the corner in Austin all the time for all that stuff? Like you were more aware of it? Like when you get a vehicle and then you don't notice anybody else driving that vehicle until you have it yourself and you see everybody on the road with that vehicle, that sort of thing,
Well, I mean,
or does that not happen in Canada? That's the US.
No, thing. No, that's I think that's a kind of a natural, everyone kind of gets that, especially with cars. Like cars is the best analogy, because you buy a new car, everyone has the same car. But when we were in Austin, we made a point of none of us had ever been there. We kind of knew we were going to go. So it was just we were okay, we're going to picture this area. I mean, I think we do it on the case. If you go back, I don't know what case file it is, but
you do it live. Yeah.
Yeah. We do it live on a podcast before we go to Austin. And
and you did the replay later and then had the footage with you doing it and then showing.
And Zell's guess of I can't remember exactly what he said, but he said floral pattern on a building or something. And you're like, I mean, this is
a bunch of people with accents.
Yeah. He described this. And then you look and you're like, could it just be a coincidence that he picked this, and then we found something that looks similar, and we're just like, maybe. But then even Andrews, Like mine was off. Mine was terrible. But Andrew's was like a situational that happened, right? Like
yeah,
we had, weird. When we went there, there was no scheduled like Joe Rogan show or anything. So like that was a, not even in the realm of what we were going to do. And we happened to like walk down the street and find out they were doing a random pop-up show. Like Joe Rogan was doing a random pop-up show at a comedy shop down there. And we got like the last tickets. Right. So it was like, it was super, the whole thing was, really weird. So it's like, do I believe it? You know, maybe to a point like you can, you know, but you know, maybe even just putting the conscious thought into that is, you know, is also helping, you know, it kind of, you know, if you will it, it will be kind of thing. I don't know. It's hard to say. Cause like if we're talking, Andrews was less remote viewing and more fortune telling, you know what I mean? Yeah. Right. So
he wishful thinking.
Yeah. Wishful thinking. If Andrew had a sharper jawline, he'd be protecting, like, he'd be letting the king know what's going on.
So that's what we should have raised money for. Get fucking jawline surgeries.
Does this trip your memory of the name?
No, that's that handsome bastard, but I can't remember.
Yeah.
His name is just eluding me now. Jason. Jason? Jason.
Jason, yes. There you go.
Yes, it did.
Someone with a J. I was going to say Josh. Yeah. And what was that big guy's name that slapped that fat girl by mistake?
I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember
that guy. Yeah, that was an interesting...
That was at the house thing.
The house, yeah.
Passed down his Jenga. Chris from Denver is in his Jenga.
Yeah, that was a rough night for everyone involved. Burmese, what do you got for us tonight? You brought some. You got some notes.
I brought a cat for show and tell. It's McFly. no, I had a couple things actually just to bring your way if you heard about them. There's one that's closer to my home here, and I'm from Wisconsin, so we have Lake Michigan. And it's kind of like the Bermuda Triangle. There's a Lake Michigan Triangle. Have you heard about this?
Just talked about it today.
That's insane.
Oh,
yeah, we were talking about it earlier today. Yes, the Lake Michigan Triangle.
Didn't I mention it to you? Didn't I message you like a while ago about it or no?
I don't recall.
I don't remember.
But we were talking about a different, we weren't talking about the triangle specifically. It just kind of came up in conversation.
Yeah. So there's a couple different like Bermuda Triangle type things. So obviously everyone knows the Bermuda Triangle. If you don't, I don't know why you're here.
It's all in college. It's all inside the Craig's Triangle.
Hashtag look it up. Yeah. And there's apparently like a space Bermuda Triangle too, but that's a whole different story. But the Lake Michigan one, it's just there's tons of ships and some aircraft that have gone missing. And there's unexplained. People saw flashes of light that weren't explosions, where it seemed like it could have been UFO or the underwater UFO. So it's a triangle stretches between Ludington, Manitowoc, down to Benton Harbor. And this is like Michigan and Wisconsin and then back to Ludington. And the craziest story about that was this ship called the Rosabelle. And this is about 1875, I want to say the year was. And it went out. It was a two-mast schooner used for transport materials. And it actually went out, crew of 11, I want to say, were on the first one. And they lost contact with it. They ended up finding it capsized. So they flipped it back up. No crew, signs of like a struggle or like a collision or anything. That was 1875. So they fix it up, whatever. They commission it again to go back out. 1921, a few years later, a bunch of years later. It goes back out, and the captain actually has like a premonition or a dream, or so his wife said, that something happened and he wouldn't get on the ship. And they were like, "Come on, captain, I'm begging you to go." And he's like, nope. And he wouldn't get on it, and it was found again capsized the same way.
He's like, "I'm not going down with the ship. I'm not going down."
right. So yeah, he didn't go out. Like he just stayed home, like called in sick, basically, and didn't go. Captain wouldn't get on because of the dream, and they end up finding it capsized the same way. Crew missing. I think the mast or the stern was broken on this one, but it didn't show any signs of it been hit or anything like that. And I don't believe they recorded any weather phenomenon at that time.
And the interesting thing, like why Lake Michigan and the Great Lakes are so treacherous is because that, you know, when there's storm, it's not like the sea where it's like, you know, you get the tides and stuff. You can get, it's wavy everywhere in every direction. Yeah. So you're like,
because they get those rogue waves sometimes too.
Yeah, it's rough. When I was growing up, my dad, his best friend who went to the Air Force.
Brett Colbert says, yeah, can't ship today.
we would go with him and we'd go down to Racine, Wisconsin and hit Lake Michigan and we'd do some fishing for salmon. And the waves would be pretty rough and we'd have to go back in because it was just like you see some white caps and you're like, oh, we're either going to get really, really sick or we're gonna have some problems. We got to turn back around. So it can be pretty rough out there. But yeah, it was a pretty crazy story that happened the same way twice. And then there's some other weird stuff too that happened. I want to say there's a guy. I remember his name was Steve. That's all I remember about him.
Yeah, okay. Steven Kubacki.
Okay, yeah. So you know about him.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Okay, so just little FYI.
That's what you guys are talking about.
This is, yeah, we're talking about him tomorrow on the podcast. Yeah. We're actually doing a full podcast on Steven Kubacki.
Oh, then I won't talk about him then.
No, but we can mention him on this live because if you're interested in this guy, basically.
It's a pretty interesting story, yeah.
You know, to quickly sum it up, not give too many spoilers, guy fucking vanishes off the face of the earth for 15 months and then reappears with no memories 700 miles away. And we've talked about there's a Toronto firefighter, you know, he was skiing and his buddies, he like,
his and this buddies was in the were, 70s too. This was, yeah, in the 1970s.
Yeah. Stephen, but more recently, this firefighter from Toronto, he was skiing, you know, and he was skiing with his buddies on a ski trip in New York. And he said, hey, you know, I'm going to go down to my truck. He not seen again. Like he goes missing. 6 days later, he pops up in Sacramento, still in his ski gear. He's got a new cell phone. He's just like, I have no memories of what happened the last 6 days and how he traversed the country. He has no clue because bank records don't show him buying a flight. Like it's crazy. Wild. So the Steven Kubacki case is very interesting. You know, if you're on our Patreon, you can get it tomorrow. And if you're not, you're going to get it the next episode, the next case file coming out next Monday. So very interesting one.
Sorry, I almost gave away your
thing. I didn't know. It actually ties in good because it gives us a little
remote viewed that you were doing it tomorrow.
This could, dude, if you had a better jawline, you'd be fucking consulting the king.
There was another thing I was going to bring up too, if we got time.
Yeah, of course.
I think this is the one I was mentioning to you a couple weeks ago. I was telling you about it. It's that girl or that gal, the woman, I guess we call her, Shante Devi. Shante Devi, it's Shantidevi. And she's got a whole claim about reincarnation. So, like, she was reincarnated, came back, you know, as somebody else, and then started telling her parents and other people about, like, her old life and then saying exactly where her husband lived. And saying she wanted to go visit him while she was a little girl. So her parents are like,
no,
like, we're not doing that. And she's like age six, like saying all this stuff. She's like, but we were married, like, you know, and she was saying like exactly where he lived. His name was Kedarnath. It sounds like Kevin Nash, Kedarnath. And he was a headmaster and a local merchant. And like the weird thing is like, it's really hard to poke holes in their story. And like, they didn't really make money off of this. So it wasn't like, you know, people who claim to see a UFO and then try to cash in. But this is all about like just reincarnation. And apparently she went to finally, like, they let her go and she took them to that town. Like a news station started talking about it. And the guy actually caught wind of it. So he like invited her over and she's like, oh yeah, it's a yellow house or whatever. And they get there and it's blue. So they're like, oh, see, she doesn't know what she's talking about. And they're like, oh yeah, we painted this from a yellow house when we first got it. It was like the new people that lived there. So she was right up to like, this is our bedroom. This is where, you know, and this guy's with a new wife at the time. So she's like, this isn't my jewelry. This is. And like, she's picking out all the stuff that used to be her jewelry and just all these weird connections, just like talking about like, you know, I guess they're talking about like sexual things too, about like what he used to like. And it's just weird that a little girl would know that. And like, yeah. And she like identified his brother and aunts and like promises they made. And it's yeah, like, buddy, it's a crazy story.
Dude, you know, that guy at that point is like, whoa, no, yeah. No. Don't like any of that. Never heard that.
No, but he, everyone that she met, like she even told him like, oh, when we're on our way there, can we stop at this, this landmark, or like I figured it was a museum or something, and there's no way that this girl like would know. There wasn't like internet really at the time. I think this was in like the 70s or the 80s, and there's no way that this girl would know like what time the place closed. And she like knew all that, and she'd never traveled down there before, but knew the whole trail, which was like 3 hours away or 4 hours away, like how to get there. And just crazy story. If you can ever find time to dive into that, it's pretty awesome.
Well, there's a couple of reincarnation ones that I've heard about. Like Duchess of Doobies in the chat saying there was a little boy who had memories of being an old war marine.
Pearl Harbor, right? Was that the same guy?
Something like that. I remember one. And he knew where he got shot, and he had a scar or something. Like, there's all sorts of.
I wondered why most people's stories are like, they're like cool things, and then never it's like, I was a peasant and I died of cholera, or I died of dysentery. I died shitting my brains out. Like, I never get any of those stories. Like, all the reincarnations, like, I was an ancient princess, or I was a war hero, or, you know, stuff like that. Or, you never get the things that's like, you know, some of these diseases that have killed millions and millions of people, and just be like, no, you're just a regular person.
What is
it? Maybe those ones just don't get written up as interesting. Maybe.
Well, I wonder if like as like that kid would grow up, if they would lose those memories, you know, if that's the case, like say they are, you know, tapped into some fucking past life, would those memories fade completely? Like, yeah, you know, they say this shit when they're 5 and 6, and then when they're 13, they're like, huh?
Well, that actually came up in that story. They basically said that like when this normally happens, the doctors, the people who research this were like, normally when they pass a certain age, they start forgetting about all that, if that was something that came up. But she, until the day she, you know, was older and passed away, like still remembered everything. It was crazy.
Yeah. Duchess Doobies is saying, you know,
if, Shanti Doobie.
If energy isn't created nor destroyed, it just moves around. So if that's what consciousness does, you know, perhaps
pretty cool to think about.
There's some global pool that we all just kind of swim around and waiting to get into the next body.
Well, that's the thing. Like, do we come back as humans, or do we come back as you know, flies and centipedes and stuff, and then, you know, different things? Like, or does our DNA have to stay the same? That's the kind of thing that is so crazy to think about. But yeah, Dan's right. You never hear the story about the guy who was like, "Yeah, I was a genital washer in medieval times."
And yeah, I cleaned up.
I worked with the taint washer, like, yeah. Rick and Morty.
I was like, I emptied out that. The royal bedpans. Like, that's what I did. You know, like that.
Got pink eye every night. You know, it doesn't sell tickets, man.
This is where I fell into the poo well and drowned.
yeah. You never hear those.
Yeah. Too traumatic. Eat so much. Well, maybe it's just like, maybe there, it has something to do with the way you die, right? Maybe it's like, if you died traumatic death or something, like, you know, I guess having diarrhea until you die is,
it's just not as exciting. That one doesn't stick like being an Egyptian princess, I suppose. Yeah.
Well, cause you're like, fuck, I was an Egyptian princess. What is this? Like, no, I don't want this baby food.
Yeah, she was, according to her claim, Shanti's claim, she was, she started school and that she was married and she died 10 days after having given birth to a child. So that was her like reincarnation claim, like how she died. And then,
Maybe it's one of those where it's like you're clinging to the, cause you're worried about your child or something. You know, I'm just trying to make sense of why some people and not others. Like you said, I don't know. You never. But like maybe very quickly in your age, like diarrhea, just like you're already pooping yourself. Like it's, you know, you're just like, you can't even
remember the
like,
diarrhea.
Yeah. It's like, you know, as a baby, you're like, okay, it's just instantly you're back to where you were. Right. It's like you're born. How
or
you
it's
die.
Like, I don't know. It's just like, you just never hear about it. Just like a really normal. It's like, I got a splinter and I got gangrene and died. Like that was my life. And it's just like,
here's where I had it right on my fingertip. Yeah.
You don't hear about those stories. It just sits in.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I don't know if reincarnation is a thing, but you know.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys have talked about that a ton, but I thought it was kind of a cool story.
No, I don't
think she's got a whole, like, there's a lot more to dive into if everyone make that a case. Well,
yeah, I don't think we've talked about a lot of reincarnation stories. I don't think so.
Because Zell's just about, been alive forever.
Yeah. Well, Zell's like, it doesn't, it's not real. We have talked about the, like, not on the reincarnation, but like, if we're talking about like these memories from a past life, you know, these like sudden savant syndrome. Right, where these people hit their heads or have a traumatic injury, and like all of a sudden they'll be like, I speak another language that I never knew now, or they're like, I am now a math genius, and they're like, I can now play the piano like I never knew how before, and now I just know how to play the piano. Like, that to me is fascinating, because like that would to me would point that this information,
there's so much of your brain you're not using, so.
is in there, like that information is in there somewhere.
Just how do you access
and
it?
And you just, you know, give yourself a good bonk, and then you're like, you know, I speak Cantonese now.
So can we do like a test every week where we have you like run really fast into the wall with your head and see if you learn any new
brain's
traits?
Already had enough head injuries, so yeah. And he'd be the smartest man alive.
Yeah, I've gone in and get the CAT scans of your brain. They're like, sir, those are blood clots. You're gonna die. You have no skills.
Smashing your head into a catio.
I can't play the piano.
But it is weird. Like, you see, I remember seeing this footage of this one guy, and he's like, I cannot read music. I cannot read sheet music. I do not know how to play the piano, but I can see patterns and I know how to play them. And he would sit at a piano and be like, for instance, this is what this wall plays. And he's just like, dude, he plays this like amazing melody. And he's like, yeah, that's what the pattern of the wall tells me to play. That's what I read. And you're just like,
I saw that.
And you're like, what the fuck? You're like, this guy never played before. You're like, how does that work?
And that kids grew up to be Billy Joel. Yeah.
But it's like,
that's how I met your mother.
Cause that just made, cause maybe it's not even reincarnation. Maybe it's just thing where, you know, that information is somewhere, like whatever, maybe the whole of human
history. Could have got it from your parents. Like, people are musical passed down. Yeah. I know it skips a couple generations sometimes. Like, my family was musical before my dad and my mom, and then I got it, and then I got the music. and then I think they said before, like, my great grandma was musical, but like my grandma wasn't, so I don't know, it skips generations or something. I mean, that can all be passed down probably, right?
Dutch is a doobie. Yeah. All right, Matt says, how hard do I have to hit my head to do that? I'm tired of being dumb. Dumb as fuck. Who knows? Like, well,
before you hit
like
your
serious.
Head, donate to the show, please.
Yeah, yeah, Duchess of Dubia says, we know that DNA is the ultimate memory bank, but we don't even access it completely. Just imagine. Yeah, like, to me, like that would make more sense for reincarnation, is that this, like, you know, if, wouldn't that point to, like, there is some, like, it would point to some sort of creation where it's like, we are, like, you know, basically machines. And this,
I mean,
there is this information that's accessible to us. We just have lost the way to touch into it, to unlock it all. Like, so it's like, you know, all memories and everything are out there for everyone to tap into.
Metallica sued the government and they shut it down. You can't download on there anymore.
Yeah. Napster became too powerful. And they're like,
no more LimeWire. Yeah. Too much porn.
Transference of information, like when they steal idea. I've told people that I came up with laser bullets, and fucking I never did anything about it. And then like a year later, laser bullets were a thing,
laser bullets,
a real thing. And I invented it. I put
did
it
you
out.
Mention
there.
It on the podcast, and some guy from your podcast like created.
No. Me and a buddy were doing. We were like, this is genius. We came up with this idea, laser bullets.
What were you doing? You just kind of stopped it doing.
While we were,
you know, buddy, we're plotting to murder.
We couldn't sight in our guns in the woods, so we thought of laser bullets, and then, you know, so you could quickly sight in your gun, you know, while you were hunting, rather than having to shoot off guns and potentially scare animals, you could pop in a laser bullet, you know, sight it in at 100 yards, and then you kind of know,
attract some cats,
yeah,
to the
and
then, area.
Yeah,
lion comes from
cougars. But then, you know, as we were kind of like doing the research and stuff, it was like, boom, someone else filed a patent, like literally like 6 months after we came up with it. And, you know, they're probably fucking living large on my fucking laser bullet money.
Do you know how many people, like, have you heard of a lot of people that use laser bullets? Though I haven't. I know a lot of hunters and they've never mentioned it.
I've never used them. I'll never buy them.
Yeah.
I refuse. It's a stolen well, idea. Them.
Why don't you create a better... Why don't you create a better version where it's got like different like patterns? Like,
well, then it's hard to sight in. it's a little smiley face.
It's like reinventing the spoon, I suppose. Yeah. I'm good at what it does.
Listen, in real time here, people listening to this, in real time, the reason Andrew's not here today is because the Lions were playing and they have since lost. And people in the chat are asking us to check in on Andrew, make sure he's okay. People are asking, how does he feel about the Lions losing? You can probably guess. Devastated.
He's all right. He said he was already like happy. We're happy to be here. He's already at that point, but he's also probably devastated.
He got to go to that playoff game, didn't he?
Yeah. He was, you know, he's one of those, he had the attitude. It's like, well, we're just happy to be here. kind of thing. So, you know, I don't know. They probably got his hopes up like in the first two quarters or whatever. And then, yeah. But
if you expect disappointment, you'll never be disappointed.
Yeah.
You know, they made it that far.
I think that's the Lions motto, but, you know, they did. That's a good thing. Hey, first playoff win in, you know, 40 something years. So, you know, good for the Andrew will rebound. He always does. I mean,
it's been with him this long. It's going to be like,
he'll live to see another day.
He'll just be like, it's next season. Like,
now they'll have another 40 year drought.
Yeah. There you go.
Anything before we get out of here tonight, if you're not already on our Patreon, patreon.com/alientheorists podcast, we got so much good stuff on you this week. As you're listening to this, we're going to have me and Dan shooting the shit about Skinwalker Ranch, a little update. We review the show. We're also going to have a Daddies and Baddies 7. If you don't know what that is, me and Andrew do a little quick hit murder series where we talk about murders. So the podcast version of that will be hitting our Patreon this week. We got a couple other goodies coming out at the end of the week, including PopCon 2, which is Andrew's solo show where he talks about pop culture conspiracies. Get that all for as little as $5 a month on our Patreon. And you get access to our sweet Discord server where you can go and talk to Dan and talk shit to people and join our crazy... little community we got going there.
Yeah.
What's the that last Andrew's only done one of those solo shows, right? That last one was really good.
Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah, a lot of people
about the movie industry and trafficking and all that. It's pretty fun to listen to. And, well, I mean, it sucks as a thing, but it's diving into what happened. It's actually a pretty good listen. So
yeah, he does a pretty good job solo. And that's edited by me. So if you've got any issues, come to me. Catherine Ward says, do the live shows usually go for less than an hour? Never been able to tune into one. Sunday lives, we go 45 an hour, you know, quick hit on what's been happening the last week. If anything's been popping up in the, you know, UFO conspiracy world. And we have one last question I'm going to take before we shut this one down. Says, have you guys ever played the Ouija board again? Not since Ouija 3, which I think is also a Patreon exclusive where we do the meanest prank we've ever done in our lives.
It's also difficult to top Ouija 3.
Yeah. If you've never heard Ouija 3, go to our Patreon, sign up for $5 or more, type in Ouija 3 in the search bar. It is honestly one of the funniest things we've ever done.
Didn't Andrew almost leave the show after?
Pretty close. it was a mean prank. Basically Andrew was supposed to come help us set up and he declined to do so. So we're like, well, fuck this guy. We're going to prank him. So we had a soundboard that would go Andrew and slowly build up through the episode. And he actually, you know, had a meltdown on the show. So it's pretty good. So, check it out. That being said, that's amazing. It. For this live, you know, we'll be back next Sunday with, you know, a little update on what's been going on. And as we always say at the end of these things, keep those eyes on the skies. Peace.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at SweetTango.com.